Y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? Okay, we get to start a new series this morning. We're going to start a new series called Letters to the Believers. It's personal, okay? And we're going to look at three small letters that we have in our New Testament that were written to individuals that we have the privilege of being able to peer over to their shoulder and read the words that were written to them. Because they weren't just written to them, they're also written to us as well. But it was personally addressed to some individuals, and so we will look at that, and we will get, we'll hear something from the Lord today that will change our hearts and help us to live to honor Him. Amen? So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read Philemon. It only has one chapter, Philemon, verses 1 through 7. Says Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege of being able to read from your holy word. And I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind to believe, a will to obey, Lord, a heart to receive what you have for us today. Help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I understand the judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. May be seated. As I was praying through in this series and bringing thoughts together, we think of letters, personal letters. They mean something, don't they? When you receive a personal letter, a handwritten letter from someone, that's special. You know, it used to be if you couldn't get in contact with someone, that would be one form of communication. You would write letters and you'd send it out, and then in the mail you'd get a letter from someone. And then with when the internet rode around, right, and then email came out, letter writing kind of slowed down a bit, and people started sending people emails and little notes through email. And then the phone has evolved throughout history, and now we have a phone, and we can send each other messages through text, and we can text each other and send some people a message. And we've even went backwards, and now we can communicate through hieroglyphics once again, a.k.a. emojis, and we can just talking symbols, and so those are forms of communication. But I know if you're like me, there's some of you out there, I know, or maybe all of you out there, you have letters that people have wrote you, you have cards that people have signed that you've kept, and that they've meant something to you. And I was going through some of the cards that I had and some stuff that I have here, and I have some cards from my ordination service when I was ordained into the ministry, and I have two from my grandmothers, who both now are with the Lord. One just passed on not too long ago, and you know, they wrote me a little note in there. I wish you the best life has to offer. I love you very much, Mamaw Kanoy, and that's my grandmother that just passed not too long ago. And you know, it's a handwritten, that's what she wrote on there, and I can always keep that. And then, dear Grant, you've always been a grandson to be proud of. May God bless your efforts to do his will. I love you very much, Nanny. That's my other grandmother who was I dearly loved, and I've got her handwritten ink of a message that she wanted me to know. I've got the card that Mom and Dad wrote me as well, and at the end of it, they tell me, remember to keep your eyes on the cross and give God the glory for all things. These are, you know, things that I'll always keep and I'll always cherish because they have a personal note within them. And then I've got a one-of-a-kind, you can't go buy this at Walmart, right? This is a one-of-a-kind card made by my daughter, my Micah on my 41st birthday. Happy 41 birthday from Micah. I can't believe you're turning 41. Wow, you're getting really old. But she made up for it on the other side. It says, yeah, you're my number one dad. Every day you make me happy. And so, you know, this is something that I'm going to keep, you know, forever. It's personal. I have another card, a birthday card, a Father's Day card, actually, from Micah and Caleb. And this is years ago. Has Caleb's handwriting on here talking about you're the best dad ever and all this kind of stuff. And I've got a card from my father-in-law who says, I am the most blessed of all men to have you for a son-in-law. Well, maybe he didn't really say that, but I have gotten some cards from them that have been special and neat. And then one of the things as I was going through my stuff, this handwritten letter from my wife. And we used to write each other notes and letters a lot more often than what we do now. In fact, in our first year in marriage, after we got married that next year, we was in Louisville. I was going through seminary, and we were in Louisville by ourselves living there. And I took a journal, and I wrote just things every day, every little things every day throughout that whole year. And then on Christmas, that was her Christmas gift that I gave her. On that. I found this letter that I had kept. It's dated in February 14th, 2004. And this was shortly after Caleb was born. And she just writes to me, and of course I'm not going to read it to you all, but she writes this to me, and this means more to me than anything. I mean, this is valuable, you know, because it's her handwriting, it's her words that she expressed to me. It's personal, and what I want to challenge myself along with you, okay, and this is a challenge to our church and to me personally as well, is that we're getting into this Thanksgiving season's coming upon us. You know, it's already November. You know, the semester's just flying by. It's already November. Then it's going to be Christmas. My challenge is that we would slow down. Let's just pause and breathe for a moment, and let's enjoy these next 2 months. Let's don't get all caught up in the chaos and the hecticness of everything that's going on around us. Could we pause for a moment, think, and allow God to show us the people in our lives that he has placed that have been a true blessing to us, and may we write them a note of encouragement. Maybe we give them a phone call. We may have a personal visit. There's some type of a personal note that you send to them to let them know how much that they mean to you. Because we're going to read these three letters throughout this month, and in them, one of the purpose for the letters was encouragement. Also, we're going to see that instruction was given in some of it, a request was made, and some warnings in others. But they're personal notes that we have the privilege of reading, and that through this season, maybe that we can learn something from these small letters that God wants to do in our heart and life. Sound good? So here we go. You ready? Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Let's just stop right here. Paul, he says, he notes himself, he refers himself as a prisoner for Christ. Now, many times in some of his letters, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, or Paul, a servant of Christ. But here he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. He's in prison when he's writing this letter, but he's not allowing his circumstance to stop him from still serving and following God, because Paul had already made up his mind that he was willing to lay down his life for the sake of Christ. You see, the reason why he can say I'm a prisoner for Christ, he could say, well, the Romans got me in prison, and what a horrible thing it is. No, he said, I will gladly bear the name I am a prisoner for Christ, because I have crucified the flesh. The life that I now live, I live through the Son of God who lives in me. And so I would ask you, and I'd ask myself this, have we come to the resolution, have we come to the point in our life where we have said, you know what, I will live my life for the gospel of Christ, no matter where it takes me, I'm willing to even give my life for the sake of my Lord Jesus. Because that's a good place to be in. Because no matter where you are, you know that you're in God's protective hand. I am a prisoner for Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother. Timothy is with him. Timothy's his young protege. Paul was a mentor, an instructor to Timothy, and he's present. And he writes this letter to a man by the name of Philemon. Now, we'll get into the purpose of this letter more so in next week's message, okay, of why he's writing this letter to him. We're just going to focus on these first seven verses in this particular message. So he writes it to a man by the name of Philemon, who is our beloved fellow worker. So Philemon is also a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also a servant of the Lord. He's also a leader in the church. He is a man of means. He has wealth, because we're going to see, and we see here in the last part of verse 2, that he opens up his house for believers to come and to worship. And most people at that time would not have had a house large enough to have other people come in. So anyone who had a house large enough to allow other believers to meet in their home for church was on more of the wealthier side. And what a blessing it is that when God has blessed you with wealth, that you allow that to be used for the kingdom. Amen? And so this is what Philemon, this is his heart. His heart was for the gospel. It says, Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Now, some thoughts on who these other two individuals are. We're not certain who they are. A lot of scholars, most scholars believe that Apphia is Philemon's wife, and Archippus is potentially their son. And so it's written to a letter to a family, which I think is really neat and awesome to think about and encouraging, because what's going on is Paul's writing to this family who had their family was centered around the gospel of Christ. Not only was the dad leading and serving and witnessing and being part of a church that met in their home, their son was following in the footsteps as well. Their son was a soldier for Christ, a soldier for the Lord, who was also a servant of God and living for the sake of the gospel. And they were meeting in their home, helping to lead other people to Jesus and refreshing and equipping the saints of God. So that makes me just pause for a moment, and we think, you know, what's our homes like? Are our homes families of faith? Do we allow Jesus to be the center of our household? Do we allow Christ and the gospel to be what motivates the love and the fellowship in our church? You know, when you go to Thanksgiving dinner here in a few weeks, what's that environment like? You know, is it one of a healthy, functioning, faith-filled, believing family? Or is there fighting and bickering and division? I don't know. But what a blessing it is when you can come together with your family and your family are believers in Jesus and there's this fellowship that you have that just is a witness to the world. And so husbands, are we loving our wives like Christ loved the church? Are we modeling for our kids what a man of God looks like in the home? Wives, do you honor and respect your husband? And are you modeling for your kids what a godly wife looks like? Are we praying with our kids? Are we reading the Bible to our kids? Are we doing devotions with our kids? Are we raising them up to love the Lord Jesus? Do we welcome family and friends over into our home, where our homes can be a place where we can fellowship and gather and eat together, laugh together, pray together, cry together, and do life together? Is our family a faith-filled witness? It's a good question, isn't it? Because that's what it should be. And so he's writing this letter to this family who's committed to living their faith out and inviting people to the kingdom. And then he says in verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the deity of Christ, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God, Okay, we worship a risen Savior. He is Lord. And he says, grace and peace to you. This was a common salutation of Paul in his letter writing. Grace and peace to you. It's a blessing over believers. It's a word of blessing to us. Why? Because we will never have peace with God until we experience the grace of God. You see, if you want peace with God, you have to encounter his grace. Because the Bible tells us that apart from Christ, we're at enmity with God. We're at odds with God. We're enemies of God. For all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us to our own ways. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there is no righteous person. There is not even one who seeks God. But there is a God who came to seek man. And Jesus took on flesh and he lived a perfect life among us, died on a cross, rose from the grave, and through his grace, we can be saved. And so God's grace extends to us peace with God. You see, because the Bible tells us this, that even while we were yet sinners or enemies of God, Christ died for us. And so this morning, if you don't have peace with God, it's because you don't have a relationship with God. And you need to trust him. If there's never been a time in your life where you said, Lord Jesus, man, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you died for me, rose again. Save me. Be my Lord. Be my God. Then you've never experienced his grace. You don't experience his peace. Because until you've experienced his grace, you'll never experience the peace of what it means to be forgiven and set free. And I'm telling you, your salvation is the most prized possession that you could ever have. Your salvation means everything to you, right? If it wasn't for God's amazing grace and him saving you, that is what's going to take you through all of life's difficulties and storms, because this world has a lot of stuff that it throws at us, right? But when we know that we are in the hands of a loving and living God who has saved us and he has sealed us till the day of redemption, we can have peace that no matter what goes on around us, we're going to be okay. It's like what Habakkuk says in chapter 3, verse 17. Read with me, see what this says. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. What's this saying? When everything crumbles around me, when the economy collapses, when the report doesn't come back good, when everything is shaky, when it seems like there's nothing in my future, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. There are times when life is so difficult and so messy and so uncertain that the only thing that carries you through is the grace of God that gives you the peace that passes all understanding. So grace and peace be upon you. It's a word of blessing to them that he extends. It's a Christian blessing. Verse 4, look what he says. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Now, just note that. Now, think about that. Prayers. Paul was a man of prayer. Paul prayed often. And he says, I thank my God always when I remember you when I'm praying. He's like, when I think of Philemon, and in my quiet time, in my prayer time, and when Philemon comes to my mind, I am thankful to God for him. That's a neat thought, isn't it? Paul expressed that to several different people. I don't have this on the screen. Just listen to Timothy when he wrote in 2 Timothy 1:3. He tells Timothy, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. He tells the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? When I'm praying, when I'm alone with God, and I think about the people in my life that have had impact, I give praise to God. Do you realize how much of a privilege it is to lift someone up to prayer before the throne of God. I think many times we forget to pray for one another because we get so busy and things and life and all this, and we're so concerned about this or that, and that comes up in our life that we need to take time. Could we just pause this month and think about the people in our life that God has placed there and lift them up before the throne of God and pray for them and thank God for them? And not only is it a privilege to pray for someone, but just think of how honoring it is to think that someone may be praying for you. I think about when Philemon got that letter and when he reads that Paul was praying for him. I mean, what did that do for him? You mean like, oh, I mean, Paul's thankful for me? He's praying for me? You see, it's an honor to pray for someone, and it's a blessing to pray for someone, to lift people up before the throne of God, to write someone a letter, to send someone up, say, hey, I just want you to know, today I lifted your name up before the Father in heaven, and I'm thankful for you. What would that mean to somebody? Can we be aware? So Paul expresses this, I thank my God always when I remember you. Now why? Why was he so thankful? Look at verse 5. He says, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. What's he say? He says, Philemon, I'm so thankful when I think about you. It makes me praise God. It makes me pray for you. Why? Because you love God and you have faith in God and you love people. Your love for God, your faith in God, and your love for the brothers and sisters of Christ, it blesses me, and I get encouraged because of your life of faithfulness. He said this often to some others, to the church in Rome, who he had not even seen and met them yet, but he had heard about their faith. Listen to what he says to them. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. He says, I hear what's going on, and man, I am so thankful that you all are leading other people to Christ. Ephesians 1:15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. You hear that? Philippians 1:3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for making my prayer with joy because your partnership with the gospel from the first day until now. And in Colossians, he says the same thing. We always thank God for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. You pick up a key term here, a love for God and a love for others. You know what Paul was saying? If I could so kind of put it in our context today within Living Water Church, you know what made Paul so excited about Philemon? Because Philemon was a guy who walked it out. He walked his faith out. He lived his faith. His life was one that loved God and loved people. And so that makes me I have to ask myself this question. Does my life reflect a love for God and a love for others that other people would be encouraged in faith by the way they see me live? Does my life motivate someone and encourage someone else to live more faithfully to the Lord? It's a good question, isn't it? The way that I go to work. The way that you go to work on Monday through Friday, or however you work, what days you work, do the people that witness your life, would they say, man, there's a man of God. Man, there's a guy that I know loves God and he loves people. There's a lady who I know, man, she is a woman of faith. And she loves God and she loves people. Right? Two of the greatest commandments that Jesus said. What's the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And it's easy for us to say, to think that we love God with all of our heart, right? Oh yeah, sure, I love God with all my heart. But do we? All of our heart? All of our mind? all of our soul, or do we have a little bit of things that we hold on to, like not trusting, maybe a little bit of bitterness, maybe we hold on to a little bit of greed, maybe we hold on to a little bit of lust, maybe we hold on to a little bit of an unforgiving spirit. We hold on to these little things. We think, oh, they're just little things, but those little things add up and they crowd out our love for God. And so maybe the Lord needs to do some work in you and me today, and he needs to reveal to us what are the things in our life that are hindering a full-hearted devotion to God. And when he reveals that, not to get mad, but to say, Lord, thank you for letting me see things that are not healthy for me and get rid of that. Because our lives should be lived in such a way that other people want to know who Jesus is. Look at verse 6. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become what? Effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm praying that your ministry and the impact that you make in your daily life continues to be successful. You know, we need to be praying for one another that we will be successful in life and in our faith, that we will do well, that we will lead other people to Christ. You know, and we want to see all churches grow, right? Not just this church, any church that loves Jesus, preaches Jesus, believes the Bible, we want to see grow. Amen? Yeah. Now, if they don't love Jesus, preach, teach Jesus, we want to see the doors closed. Because we want people to have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because he is the way to the Father, right? But we want to see success in every church that loves and honors and worships Jesus. Because when they grow, the kingdom grows. When I want your life to be so filled with fruitfulness that you help lead many people to Jesus and that other people are blessed because of you. Because if you help reach somebody to Jesus, the kingdom grows. And he says, Philemon, I pray that everything you do will continually be successful and effective for the sake of Christ. That you will lead people to Jesus. That they'll learn to love him and live for him. And that the cycle will keep going on and going on. And you say, well, I don't really know who to pray for. I know somebody you can pray for. I'll take your prayer. I need all the prayer I can get. That's when you could have said amen real loud right there. But you blew it, so you don't get it again. That's it. You missed your opportunity. I gave it to you. I teed it up for you, but you didn't swing. I need your prayers. Pastor John can use your prayers. Pastor BJ can use your prayers. The people teaching your children, they need your prayers. The people are serving. Pray for the effectiveness of what God is doing in the lives of others. Amen. Praying for God's movement and the life of your church. For I have derived, verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Paul says, you know what? I gain so much joy and comfort knowing that you're blessing so many other people, and it does my heart well. Right? Like when you see other believers being a blessing to somebody else, that should warm your heart. Amen? It's a good thing that we see faith working out, being lived out, being showed, displayed. How? By the way we live our lives. And I do want to say this. I want to thank you, Living Water Church, for the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus. And the love that you do show for people. Because I enjoy pastoring Living Water Church. It's a joy. It's a joy. Now, not all pastors can say that. Now, there's times when it's the pastor's fault. And he causes problems. And he does all his things and messes things up. Sometimes it's the congregation. There's sometimes when churches are not a loving place to be in. In fact, it can be a very hateful and divisive place to be in. But living water, you know what we've done? And from day one, you know what our focus has been? On the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. We have a focused purpose that the goal of Living Water Church is to preach and lift up the name of Jesus, to teach Jesus, love Jesus, share Jesus, show Jesus, and make it about Him and not about us. And when we all have a focus that we are going to focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, great things happen. Put our differences aside, the one thing we're all going to come and rally around is at the cross, because at the cross is where we find our grace. And that's what we want people to experience, the grace and the peace from the Lord Jesus. So I want to thank you. Out of the members here of this church, a large percentage serve somewhere. And as I take our list that we have, and I have our membership list, and then I got a list of people who attend here, and throughout the year I try to make it my aim to lift every person up to the Lord individually. Now, I can't always put a name and face together, okay? Now, the membership role I can, but not just everybody who attends. I can't always put that together, but I'm lifting your name up to the Lord. And I thank God for you all. Because you know what? I'm thinking, what is going to happen next? Because I kind of live in a life of surprise with what God's doing, because I don't know what God's going to do next. Because He's already surpassed what I thought was going to happen. I mean, I had an idea of what could happen when we moved here to Mount Sterling, and it's already went beyond that. So now, I'm like, beyond that. So I don't know. It's like, okay, God, what's next? What's next? What new chapter do you have for Living Water Church? What's the next turn going to look like? I don't know, but I'm excited, and I want to do it with you all. Because this is a church who loves God and loves people. And I thank you for that. On behalf of the staff, we thank you for the pastor appreciation gift that you gave us. But more importantly, I thank you for being people who truly want to live your faith and desire to follow God and lead others to Jesus. Because what happens when we all do that? What happens if every single family in this church becomes a family filled with faith that is so contagious that it makes a witness to the world? And we all come together in one big gathering as a church, and the families have gathered together that have been living a gospel-centered life throughout the week, and we all get to come together and worship Jesus and love Jesus together. Then the light of Jesus gets brighter and brighter, and Montgomery County people begin to get saved. Powell County, Clark County, Menifee County, the state of Kentucky, to the ends of the world, people come to know who Jesus is. Why? Because there's a group of people called Living Water Church who love God and they love people. And they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What could happen? Whew, I don't know. I don't know. I can't wait to see. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have an opportunity today to gather together as your people and to worship you, Lord, to sing songs of praise and adoration to you, Lord, to hear from your word. And I thank you, Lord, for this personal letter that we have in the Bible to Philemon. And Lord, the words of encouragement that we get. I pray, Lord, that our family and the families in our church, that we will be faith-filled families to allow the gospel of Christ to be at the center of all that we do. Lord, I pray for what's going to happen here. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I thank you for the people here at this church. And I pray that you would continue to fill us with your grace and your mercy and your love in such a way that we just start telling people. And it's evident by the way that we live that we love you and that we love others. So, Lord, help us. Help us to honor you in all that we do. And Lord, throughout these next couple months before the year ends, may we be people who can just slow down a bit and be thankful for those that you've placed in our lives. And may we express that to them and to you. For it's in Jesus' good name we do pray. Amen.